Hi, my name is Chris Reiser, and I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft, working on Windows Azure Mobile Services. When we first released mobile services, we said that our goal was to make it really easy for any client developer to connect their applications to a backend hosted in Windows Azure. A few months ago, we released native SDKs for iOS and Windows Phone 8 development. These SDKs join the originally released one for Windows Store applications. Today, I'm extremely happy to announce the release of our official Android SDK for Windows Azure Mobile Services. This gives Android developers super easy access to structured data storage, authentication, push notifications using Google Cloud Messaging, and more with Windows Azure Mobile Services and a native Java SDK. Today I'm going to show you a demo of creating a new Windows Azure Mobile Service, running an application in Android connected to that mobile service, and then walk through some of the features of mobile services in case you haven't checked it out yet. Before we start getting into using mobile services to develop Android apps, I thought I'd point out that Windows Azure worked with Microsoft Open Technologies on this. Microsoft Open Technologies developed the SDK, and the Windows Azure team built portal integration and push support. Here I am in the Windows Azure portal. Signing up for Windows Azure is very easy. You just go to www.windowsazure.com, sign up for the free trial, and then you get access to 10 free mobile services. Once you're in the portal like I am, you can create a new mobile service by going to New, Compute, Mobile Service, and Create. Enter the name of your mobile service. Today I'm going to name mine Droid Demo. And then you can choose whether you want to use an existing SQL database or create a new one. I'm just going to create a new one today. In the next step, you can choose the name of your database. And then you can either use an existing server or create a new one. We'll go ahead and create a new one by entering some administrative credentials for our server. And go ahead and create. This will start the provisioning process, which creates the SQL server and database, sets up my runtime, and gives me an internet endpoint, which is how I'll access my service. Now that my service is created, we'll click on it, and I'll be taken to the quick start. Here, we have a list of all the platforms we currently support, which now includes Android. Today, we're going to follow the Create a New Android App quick start, which basically gives us a templated application, which is a to-do list. The first step here is to install the Android SDK for Eclipse, which I've already done, so I'll skip that. I'm going to proceed on to the second step, which is to create a to-do item table to store my to-do items. Once that's done, I can go ahead and download my application. After I've downloaded it, I'll go ahead and unzip that. And now, I'll go ahead and open up Eclipse, and I'll go to File and Import. I'm going to choose Existing Projects into Workspace and go to the next. Then I'll browse. Now I'll open my Droid Demo, and I'll finish that, and now it will show up inside of Eclipse. Let's go ahead and run our application. We'll open up the emulator, and the first thing it's going to do is try to pull to-do items, which of course there are none. So let's go ahead and add one, and we're going to announce Android support. So now we see this item's been added locally. Let's go back to the portal and go to the Data tab. And we should see, if we go into To-Do Item, that our data has now been added. So if I go back to my application and I add another To-Do Item, and I will check off and say that I finished announcing the Android support, we'll go back into the portal again and we'll refresh our data. And we should see that both of the items are there, and the announced Android support is now marked complete. Now let's return to Eclipse and see how some of this works. First thing we'll look at is the libs folder. If we expand that, we see that we have a number of jars in here that are all part of or used by the mobile services SDK. If you were to use an existing project and add mobile services into it, these are the jars that you need to put in your libs folder in order for that to work. Now let's expand the source folder, expand our package, and open to-do-item.java. This is our basic data object that we're going to use to send back and forth with our mobile service. Notice that each variable has an annotation to describe what it should be called when it's serialized and sent to the server, and what it should be deserialized as when it comes from the server. So even though this variable is mtext, when it goes up to the server, it's getting put as text. And when it comes back from the server, it's going to expect to come back as text. Now let's look at to-do activity. First thing we're going to look at is inside this onCreate method, we have this code right here, which we use to create a mobile services client, which takes the URL of our mobile service and the application key of our mobile service as well. That is a unique key that identifies our mobile service. If we look beneath that, we see that we have a creation for a mobile services table that uses the 2M class to create the table. This is how this M to do a table property is actually what we use to do all of our inserts, reads, and updates against our mobile service. That's how easy it is to get an application up and running connected to mobile services. Now if I return to the mobile services portal, there are a few different things I'll highlight in case you haven't taken a look at mobile services yet. First, whenever we add a table, scripts are generated which can intercept any request to a table. We can go into the scripts tab and modify these scripts to perform custom logic whenever they are fired. This is useful for doing data validation, checking on other data, and tons of other things like sending emails and push notifications and more. We also have the ability to set permissions on each table operation, so if we wanted to lock certain actions down to only authenticated users or only scripts and admins, we have the option to do so. Next, if we go back and go over to the push tab, we'll see that settings for Google Cloud Messaging have been added down here, so all you need to do is drop in your API key, and you can do push notifications to GCM clients from your server-side scripts. Next, if we go over to identity, you have an easy way to enter the settings to allow users to authenticate in your apps using their Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and Twitter accounts. The Scheduler tab can be used to create scheduled jobs or run jobs on demand, which work as scripts just like your server-side scripts for intercepting table operations. We can then go to the dashboard and see what's going on in my service, including how much CPU time has been used, the amount of data out, and the memory usage. The logging tab is here to view information that we log or is logged automatically, such as errors from our scripts. Finally, we can go to the Scale tab to very easily and quickly scale our mobile service up to handle more and more users and more requests. Hopefully you saw today how easy it is to get started with mobile services. Don't forget that you can sign up for a free Windows Azure account and 10 free mobile services at windowsazure.com. We're really excited to get Android into mobile services and look forward to seeing what you're able to build with Android and Windows Azure mobile services. Thank you.